Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Monday, June 30th. I'm Ray Graff. Support for Medical Monday comes from Daughters of Sarah, Albany, New York, providing a continuum of care for seniors, offering them opportunities to live at age gracefully with dignity and respect. Daughtersofsarah.org. Today, we'll discuss wound care and hyperbaric medicine with Dr. Michael Ormont of New Vance Health. Dr. Ormont has extensive experience with all wound types, including arterial, venous, surgical, and traumatic wounds. He performs damaged tissue removal and wound coverage and closure procedures. You got a question? Call 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. We'll meet Dr. Michael Ormont and take your calls coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Medical Monday, and joining us today is Dr. Michael Ormont, Director of Wound Care and Hyperbaric Medicine at Vassar Brothers Medical Center in Poughkeepsie, New York, at Northern Dutchess Hospital in Rhinebeck. Dr. Ormont has extensive experience with all wound types, including arterial, venous, surgical, and traumatic wounds. He continues to operate performing debridement, which is damaged tissue removal, as well as wound coverage and closure procedures. He earned his medical degree from the Lewis Katz School of Medicine at Temple University and did his residency in general surgery at Thomas Jefferson University in Philadelphia. Dr. Ormont is board certified in general surgery. You have a question? Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org as we roll along here. Dr. Michael Ormont, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Ray.
Wound care to me seems pretty basic. You wrap it and you let it heal. There is more to it. And tell us what you do on a daily basis.
Well, Ray, when you think of a wound as our demographic, you get a cut or an abrasion or a laceration and you put a dressing on it, it closes over a number of weeks. When you need to see a wound care specialist is when the process of wound healing, it stops. When it doesn't progress from the phase of the healing process into the closure process. In that case, they refer, our referring physicians send us patients, and we take a look at the wounds, assess them, and try and figure out why they're not moving forward, and take the necessary steps to get them to heal.
Does that happen a lot?
It does, very frequently.
What are some of the major reasons?
So we see a lot of chronic wounds. What I described at the beginning was an acute wound,
yeah,
a little bit of a trauma event. Chronic wounds are wounds that may be related to an underlying process that isn't treated. So if the patient, for example, has diabetes, people with diabetes have difficult healing wounds. So it's a question of getting the diabetes under better control, potentially protecting the wounds from pressure or abrasion or further trauma, and making sure the right products are applied to the wound surface to accelerate the healing.
What is debridement?
Debridement is the removal of dead tissue from the wound bed. It also includes the removal of foreign material from the wound bed in the event of a traumatic wound, and also the removal of as much bacteria as can be lifted from the wound bed. Bacteria tend to prevent the wound from healing well, and a large part of wound care is making sure that the bacterial count of the wound bed is low. You can't sterilize a wound, but at least you can keep the number of bacteria down so that the body has a chance to get that wound covered.
We're joined today by Dr. Michael Ormont, Director of Wound Care and Hyperbaric Medicine at Vassar Brothers Medical Center and Northern Dutchess Hospital. How do you count bacteria?
Well, actually, there are several methods. One of the ways we do it most commonly is to obtain a bacterial culture. This is more of a as opposed to a quantity, a quality of what's living in the wound bed. In other words, we figure out whether the bacteria are going to be susceptible to the treatments we apply. There are other ways. There are devices available where you can look at the wound bed and get a general assessment of how much bacteria is there. Actual numbers, hard to come by.
The number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, joined by Dr. Michael Ormont today, Director of Wound Care and Hyperbaric Medicine at Vassar Brothers and Northern Dutchess Hospital. All right, you know, hyperbaric medicine, and we talked briefly about this in the green room, and I showed you my extensive scientific intelligence here, but why would that help? Hyperbaric, first of all, for those who don't know, tell us what hyperbaric medicine is.
Hyperbaric medicine is the application of oxygen at high pressure, 100% oxygen, in a whole body chamber. So, for
in other words, you go in and you're breathing it as well.
Exactly.
Not just your body.
And it's under pressure. So here we are sitting in the studio. This is one atmosphere of pressure. In a hyperbaric chamber, we actually increase the pressure of oxygen to 2 or even 2.5 atmospheres. For those listeners who are divers, that's roughly the equivalent of it being approximately 50 feet underwater.
Okay.
And this provides 100% oxygen, which gets perfused into the tissues and is effectively distributed to the wound bed.
How does it get perfused into the tissues?
So the high concentrations of oxygen provided in the hyperbaric chamber basically allow diffusion of the oxygen through the tissues more effectively.
In the skin.
Because of the gradient.
What do you mean the gradient?
So in other words, the amount of oxygen that's in the bloodstream is significantly higher than the amount of oxygen that's in the healing tissues. And the idea is additional oxygen will be transmitted to the wound because of the differential. So less oxygen in one place, for lack of a better term, draws the oxygen into the area of most need.
And how does this, in fact, speed the healing process?
Oxygen really helps with the healing process in any number of ways, but most specifically, it allows for the function of the healing cells. They work much better in a high oxygen environment.
I have millions of questions about hyperbaric medicine now. The number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. It's wound care and hyperbaric medicine with Dr. Michael Ormont today. First of all, how did somebody discover that this works? And second of all, have you tried, not you, but science and medicine, tried higher pressures than 2.5 atmospheres?
2.5 atmospheres seems to be the key between healing and safety. You really don't want to go too much higher than that. There's a risk to hyperbaric oxygen therapy. There are actually several risks.
Including explosions, I imagine.
Well, you certainly don't want to bring your cigarette lighter into the chamber.
Fair enough.
We prevent people from bringing anything from the street in. We give them special, specially laundered gowns to wear. And we are very careful about what dressings we put on patients who are undergoing hyperbaric oxygen therapy. We don't want to bring in ignition sources. We certainly don't want to bring anything that could be a fuel source for a fire. And we make sure that the patient is grounded so that static electricity can't build up and create a spark.
You know, this place in the wintertime when the heat is on, yeah, I can't walk in this door without getting a shock. That's got to be tough in the hospital situation to make sure you're statically neutral.
Yes, as I said, we do have special grounding straps which we use, and we use a conductive gel to make sure that they are functioning. We test them every single treatment.
Dr. Michael Ormont is our guest today. It's wound care and hyperbaric medicine. The number is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. When is hyperbaric wound care indicated, and when is it not?
Well, there are actually very specific indications for hyperbaric oxygen therapy. These are indications that have been demonstrated in the medical literature to be effective. It doesn't work for every wound. It doesn't work for every patient. It doesn't work in every scenario. But we do our best to select the patients and the wounds who are going to do best with hyperbaric oxygen therapy. One great example is the diabetic foot wound. People with diabetes have what's called small vessel disease. So while there may be enough blood getting down to the foot to allow for healing, it actually isn't making its way into the areas where the wounds develop. And one of the ways we counteract that is by providing hyperbaric oxygen therapy that allows the oxygen to get to the wound site and facilitate the healing process.
Is it just the is it also a matter of pressure? In other words, could you just wrap the foot tightly and increase the pressure? You know, we see things where people will put those compression socks on and increase their blood flow.
So that's addressing a different issue. So when you put a compression sock on, you're actually trying to support the venous return of the blood from the lower extremity up back to the heart. So we spend all our lives standing up, and over time, the veins, which have very thin walls, and they're designed to return the blood from the tissues, they gradually dilate, and the system which prevents the blood from backflowing towards the foot starts to fail. We combat that by pressing, by applying compression on the outside.
With oxygen.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Now we're talking about the compression socks.
Aha. Okay. I'm jumping ahead. Continue. I'm sorry.
So compression socks are designed to prevent the swelling that we see in patients with what's called venous insufficiency.
Right.
It's a very, very common problem. I hesitate to use the word patient because so many people have it that it's one of our most commonly seen conditions. Edema is a typical term that's used to describe the scenario. And we can encourage people to wear compression socks so that the fluid, which has leaked out of the veins due to the high pressure, can be encouraged to return to the bloodstream. This is separate from hyperbaric oxygen therapy, where oxygen is delivered at high pressure.
And this is arterial. The hyperbaric is for arterial issues. We'll talk about veins and arteries coming up after the break here. The number is 800-348-2551. If you have a question for Dr. Michael Ormont today, it's wound care and hyperbaric medicine on this program. And getting back to sort of pre-hyperbaric technology, how has your state-of-the-art in wound care, non-hyperbaric, changed in the time that you, I guess you've been doing this a while? How has it changed? How have things improved? How have outcomes improved?
So I've been a wound care physician for about 5 years. I transitioned from general surgery in 2020, around the time of COVID. We've seen a significant increase in the availability of products which, when added to the wound care regimen, accelerate the healing process by creating a proper healing environment to the tissues. This includes products which are good at controlling bacteria at the wound beds, products that are good at controlling the body's inflammatory response to wounds.
Time out just a sec. When you say products, are you talking about medicines or topical ointments or what?
Both, actually. Medicines, topical ointments, and even dressings.
Okay.
What you see is that while these products and dressings and ointments are very much available, most physicians' offices don't have these readily at hand. So when you arrive at your physician's office and you've got a wound that doesn't heal, they'll take a look. They'll make a determination that the wound needs specialty dressings or specialty care, and they'll refer you to a wound care center. And we carry those products in our formulary.
Is it uncommon, or was it at a time uncommon, to have someone or a dedicated team just focusing on wound healing?
Yes, actually, wound care is a relatively new specialty. I would say probably in the last 30 to 40 years, we've seen a huge increase in the number of wound care centers and places where people can go to get their wounds cared for. It's not unlike many specialties where the amount of information available has increased to the point where it's very difficult for a primary care practitioner to manage absolutely everything that a patient walks in the door with. But now they have a place to send people with chronic wounds.
Let's take a quick break here. Dr. Michael Ormont joins us. Dr. Ormont is Director of Wound Care and Hyperbaric Medicine at Vassar Brothers Medical Center in Poughkeepsie and Northern Dutchess Hospital in Rhinebeck. Now some soothing music from the theremin. Doctor, just relax. The theremin is soothing you now. We're joined by Dr. Michael Ormont, Director of Wound Care and Hyperbaric Medicine at Vassar Brothers at Northern Dutchess Hospital. The number here is 800-348-2551. Let's get into just briefly, before we hit the phones, and we'll do that in a minute, just some of the surgical techniques that you're using. I mean, it seems to me, and again, radio guy, not a doctor, but it seems counterintuitive. You have an open wound. How is cutting more going to do any good?
Well, that's an excellent question, Ray. So when we think about surgery for wounds, we think about situations in which we need to actually provide additional tissue, which we have to move from other places. So one of the common techniques we use when we have to operate on a wound is to provide tissue from different locations in terms of the commonly used medical term is a flap. And we bring tissue from local or regional locations near the wound over to cover the wound. One classic example is people with longstanding pressure injuries where there's so much tissue loss that it would take months, years, even occasionally we see patients with decades-old pressure injuries.
What's a pressure injury?
So a pressure injury is when you have pressure on a surface for an extended period of time without changing the position. This results in the blood supply to that area being cut off. Without the blood supply, the tissue at the wound site dies, and that's how the wound develops.
Ah, okay.
So when people have longstanding pressure injuries, one of the options is to actually bring tissue in from other locations, usually adjacent to the wound, and fill the gap that way. Usually there's enough tissue in other areas that you can bring that in and cover the wounds. This is something that's a specialty. Usually plastic surgeons do this, but it is available to people who have longstanding issues that we haven't been able to solve otherwise.
Are there mysteries that you, and we'll go, I promise, Chris and Sandgate, you're going to be first, 800-348-2551. But let me ask an inane question first. Are there mysteries in what you do when you look at the animal kingdom and you see some of these critters that can regrow limbs or tissue, you know, some of these invertebrates and mollusks and such can do this. How and why and what can you learn for us?
So, interestingly enough, the idea of getting the wound to heal is very much the ability of the body to regrow tissue where there hasn't been. And so while it's a bit of a different process when you're talking about the arm of the starfish, in humans, we have the ability to fill pretty large gaps of tissue loss with newly healed tissue. Now, there are many, many components, obviously, which participate in getting that to happen. But it is something that we see on a regular basis.
Well, let's go to the phones now. You've had enough of my questions. Now it's up to the listeners. The number is 800-348-2551. You can email voxpop@wamc.org. And we'll begin in Sandgate, Vermont. Chris, you're on.
Yeah, we never have enough of you, Ray. That's for sure.
All right, go ahead. You're up.
And I'll tell you, the ankle. I had scraped some of the bark off of my ankle years ago and went to a wound care clinic after years of trying to do it myself. And the clinic in a northern New York City did a great job taking care of it. What about the ankle? You know, I mean, that's something we used to scrape a lot when we were kids, riding bikes, doing whatever. But what about the ankle is special?
Excellent question, Chris, and thanks for calling in. We see a lot of ankle injuries. Mostly it's the paucity of tissue over the bony prominence called the malleolus, which provides us with the greatest challenge in getting the tissue to cover. We can get them to heal, and we do frequently, but it is a fair amount of work. It's a question of there was never a ton of tissue there to begin with, and getting stuff to grow in that location, again, can be very challenging.
Chris.
Yeah. After years of doing it myself, I agree with that. And it took going to the hospital and to the clinic that decreed that their operation it worked beautifully, you know, and I've had no problems for 5 years.
That's fantastic. I'm so glad to hear that. In many people we see, there are underlying medical conditions which interfere with the healing process. Some people have diabetes. Some people are tobacco users. Some people have difficulty because of their jobs keeping dressings in a location which we're trying to heal. And often that contributes to the delay in closure. But it sounds like you did a phenomenal job taking care of it.
Chris, thanks a lot for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. So there isn't much tissue over the ankle. I get it. You know, when my son was playing baseball, occasionally he'd be in a batting cage for an hour or whatever, and we put this stuff called liquid skin on his, he'd get blisters. Is there a substance, a more industrial-grade substance, an artificial skin that you guys use?
There is. There is something which we call cellular and acellular matrix tissue products. That's a very long and complex way of saying that products derived from other tissues, and they can be allografts, in other words, from other human beings, or they can be xenografts, and we have products that are derived, for example, from pigs and from fish, which we use to promote wound healing in difficult situations. We use a lot of these products, and they really help under certain circumstances.
So fascinating. Can you use, you know, we've heard of transplants for organs and the skin being an organ. Can you successfully transplant sections of skin, say from a cadaver, and get it to not be rejected?
So the short answer is yes. The long answer is what the benefit that particular technique provides is actually bringing the healing process to the wound bed, controlling the inflammation, which may be reducing the rate of wound healing, and helping with coverage so that the amount of fluid lost through the wound bed is decreased.
So still it's up to you, your body to create.
Exactly.
Dr. Michael Ormont joins us today. The number here is 800-348-2551. WAMC is our website. VoxPop at WAMC.org is the email address for this show. Let's go to Jim in Adams, Massachusetts. Hello, Jim.
Yay, Ray, and yay, Doctor.
Yay.
Jim. Yes, I've read in some reports that were published through the British Lancet, I believe, is the only source I've heard them from, of doctors having success with people regenerating the tips of, I think primarily thumbs, maybe fingers as well, because they don't wrap any kind of a dressing directly onto the end of the severed digit. They leave that open and airspace around it, but they do enclose it on a distance away from the end of the digit. So I guess the theory is that they're not shorting out the electrical signals from the nerves and the digit, so it has a much better chance to regenerate the tissue.
Jim, I would say that one of the key factors to making sure that a wound heals properly is creating a warm and moist healing environment. And typically what we do under these circumstances is we do put dressings, albeit in my practice directly on the wound, which prevents the wounds from drying out and also protects the wounds from getting cold. The other thing you've got to remember is, you know, fingers are at the extreme ends of the blood supply, and sometimes the blood supply can be somewhat compromised after a traumatic event. We have to make sure that the blood supply to the hand is adequate. All those factors go into a successful closure of hand wounds, and what's been amazing to me in my practice of wound care is how well the hand will heal in spite of the severity of the injury. That's always been astonishing to me, but it seems to be effective.
Jim, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Michael Ormont joins us, Director of Wound Care and Hyperbaric Medicine at Vassar Brothers Medical Center in Poughkeepsie at Northern Dutchess Hospital in Rhinebeck. Warm. You said the word warm. Now, what you said, I think, after that was that wounds like warmth to heal. We have seen many a war over the course of human history in very cold weather. That's got to pose special challenges. How is that dealt with when you're on the battlefield and it's 2 degrees outside?
Well, you do what you can do. But again, what we always do, even in battlefield dressings, is to get the wound covered as quickly as possible. When you have an acute battlefield wound, obviously the highest priority is making sure that if there is any bleeding, it's under control, because you certainly don't want the wound to be the cause of the demise of the soldier. Then once that's performed, you have to keep the wound as clean and as protected as you possibly can until the soldier can be transferred behind lines to a medical facility and the wound can be addressed. It does, in the worst case scenario, out in the community, it delays healing. But usually if you get the wound retreated again, it will resume closure.
But the body, on average, 98.6, right? What does it matter how? I mean, your body is internally warm, right? What difference does it make how cold it is outside?
Well, it does result in the constriction of the blood vessels. So one of the main goals of the body is to conserve that warmth so people don't get hypothermic. All the chemical reactions in the body operate best at our normal temperature, yeah, you know, 98.6 degrees. And if there's a threat to the body in terms of hypothermia, the temperature of the body going down, the natural response is for blood vessels to clamp down and prevent blood from going to the extremities first and then, you know, gradually work their way up depending on how severe the threat is. That includes hands, feet, toes, fingers, places which the body feels are expendable for the central warmth. And so that's why it's really important to keep the whole body warm, if at all possible, and the wound warm, if not.
In your operating suite or where you are, where you do most of your work, is it very warm? Do you keep it warm in there?
We do. Yes, we do. Not uncomfortably warm. We have to be able to do our jobs. But for the classic example is when I used to do any pediatric surgery, the room would always be very, very warm. Probably 80, 85 degrees.
Interesting. Dr. Michael Ormont joins us today. It's Wound Care and Hyperbaric Medicine, 800-348-2551. Let's go to Sarah in Sunderland, Mass. Sarah, you're on.
Hi. I am so pleased to hear this subject. I did my thesis in college on reparative regeneration, 1976. And my question to you is, I'd like you to talk a little bit, if you could, about the difference between connective tissue scarring and original. I did it on epithelial regeneration, and I studied I was very interested in different aspects that help epithelia replace original cells. Electrical, nervous system, all that kind of thing, and I've heard about hyperbaric oxygen treatments, and I'm just so excited to hear all about it. That was a long time ago.
Yes, so the body is fabulous at generating collagen, which is the most important reparative tissues that we have to accelerate the wound healing process. One of the key factors that I like to mention when it comes to wound healing and tissue regeneration is nutrition. And it's really important to make sure that when you have a wound, that you are adequately supplementing your protein intake. And, of course, vitamin A, vitamin C, and zinc also play major factors in wound healing. There are many studies demonstrating how helpful it is to make sure your nutritional status is adequate when you're going through a wound healing process. But again, it's all about the body's ability to generate that collagen, which I'm sure you're well aware, Sarah.
Yes, it's just fabulous. I studied Polozaev, who connected. They had frogs regrow legs by reconnecting the frogs' nervous systems. And I was so interested in the difference between scar, you know, getting rid of scars and laying down new epithelial cells. It's wonderful. I'll look more into it. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much, Sarah.
Appreciate the call, Sarah. The number here is 800-348-2551. We're joined by Dr. Michael Ormont, Director of Wound Care and Hyperbaric Medicine at Vassar Brothers at Northern Dutchess Hospital. Let's go one more call, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll check the email bag. flag, etc., why not mosey on out to Pennsylvania? Jim in Matamoros, you're on.
Will hydrogen peroxide and betadine suffice if no hyperbaric chamber is available? And we're having difficulty hearing the guest again.
Ah, okay. Well, you can always listen online later, but go ahead, Doc.
Jim, we recommend against the use of hydrogen peroxide for wound healing. Unfortunately, hydrogen peroxide tends to not only negatively affect the bacteria at the wound bed, but it also stops the tissues which we hope to use to regenerate the wound. So it hurts the healing cells as well as the bacteria, so we recommend against hydrogen peroxide. Generally, if you're stuck with nothing available, topical, or I should say over-the-counter topical antibiotic agents can help with wound healing. But if you find that a wound has really exceeded your expectations of how long it would heal, it really helps to get in touch with a practitioner who can assess the wound and make a determination as to whether you should be seen by a wound care specialist.
Jim, thanks for the call. Now, why would antibiotics help that, aside from if you had a high bacteria count in your wound? But any other reason why that would work?
That's pretty much it. The idea is to reduce the amount of bacteria so that the tissues have a chance to regrow.
All right. I want to talk to you. We'll take a break here. The number is 800-348-2551. I want to talk to you a little bit about why protein, vitamin A, vitamin C, and zinc have a positive effect, why nutrition has a positive effect, but we'll check the email bag in a minute. The great Joe Pass here on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. Ray Graff with you. It's Medical Monday. Almost said Pets and Vets, which is a different show. We were talking about animals in the break. Dr. Michael Ormond joins us from Vassar Brothers Medical Center at Northern Dutchess Hospital. He's the director of wound care and hyperbaric medicine. This email came into voxpop@wamc.org from Vincent. Doctor, can you talk about your work with respect to wounds caused by ketamine, which is sometimes taken by people who use drugs?
So we haven't seen any wounds specifically related to ketamine, but there are many effects that drugs have on the wound healing process. Mostly it relates to the death of the skin over certain body parts, and that can often be created by what they call microemboli or microthrombi, where the blood vessels to the smallest blood vessels, the capillaries, get occluded by even things that are injected into the body. And this can result in wounds as well. Certainly cocaine has a well-known vasoconstrictive effect, and we see people with cocaine wounds. And people who inject drugs into the body in any way usually result with infectious complications because it's hard to keep the sterile environment when you're injecting drugs into your body.
We're joined by Dr. Michael Ormond. The number is 800-348-2551, and we'll jump back to the phones in a minute. Two things. One, we were talking briefly about wound care on a battlefield. This might be not true, but I was always told crazy glue began as a field dressing for wounds. Is that true?
That's correct. So it's called cyanoacrylate, and it's a really commonly used product in medicine. And we usually use it in surgical situations where you have an open wound and you close it primarily. In other words, you create the wound during surgery, and then when you're done with your operation, you close the wound and use cyanoacrylate as a dressing. It's also effective around chronic wounds to control the environment immediately surrounding the wound. Again, relating mostly to the bacteria, but also protecting the skin immediately surrounding the wound from excessive moisture and also keeping that area relatively warm compared to the surrounding tissues.
All right, let me ask you a question. Another one of my genius questions. I'm out in the woods. I'm 150 miles from the nearest hospital. I slice my finger with a knife. Don't jump. But I have crazy glue. Should I try to seal it myself with crazy glue, or is that dumb?
Well, it's not them. It has to do with the risk of infection. If the wound is generally appearing clean, it's probably safe to attempt it. But there's always a possibility that you've trapped some bacteria in the wound bed, which results in infection.
But then again, as opposed to bleeding to death 150 miles from anywhere.
Yes. As I may have mentioned before, it's really important to get the bleeding to stop.
Aha.
That is the first step in any wound management.
Have you had enough of this show yet?
Never, ever.
Dr. Michael Ormott joins us, Director of Wound Care and Hyperbaric Medicine at Vassar Brothers Medical Center in Poughkeepsie at Northern Dutchess Hospital in Rhinebeck. Very quickly, and we'll get right back to the phones, 800-348-2551. You talked a little bit when you were addressing Chris, I think, at Sandgate, or maybe somebody else, about the advantages to your system when you have proper nutrition, protein, vitamin A, vitamin C, zinc. Why?
So all of the tissues that are required to fill a gap, in other words, get the wound to heal, close the wound, replace the lost material, you have to ingest those. And if you think about the amount of protein that's required just to keep your body going without trying to heal any wounds, it's considerable. And so there's has to be a significant increase in the amount of protein you ingest so that you have enough to fill the gap in the tissue left by a wound. And that is the primary reason we like to make sure that people are getting adequate nutrition when they're undergoing wound healing. Now, protein is really important. It's made up of primarily amino acids. And there are amino acids which you cannot manufacture. They're required amino acids, and you have to ingest those. So we always stress the amount of protein that's required. Usually it's at least 100 grams a day, and if you think about a package insert or the nutritional label on dietary products, you get an idea of how hard it is to actually ingest 100 grams of protein in a 24-hour period. It's really a bit of a challenge. And some of our patients are amazed at how little protein they were consuming before they got their wound and before they had the education piece.
Interesting. All right, this email from Renee, and then we'll go back to the phones. Collagen is the subject heading. Is there a difference between our own body-made collagen, or can you use the powdered form?
So we use a lot of powdered collagen or collagen in a variety of forms to provide scaffolding for wound healing. And it helps. Generally, the products that we put directly on the wound surface are absorbed by the body during the wound healing process, but they allow attachment points for the healing cells, the fibroblasts, the macrophages. They allow those cells to actually position themselves in the wound and start the process of the wound healing. Hmm. And again, as I said, the products we apply to wounds generally get resorbed by the body, but they provide the necessary scaffolding to help with the wound healing.
Is collagen one of those substances, like so many others, that the production of it declines in your own body as you age?
It does indeed. Yes, that's a very good point. And so that's another reason why, as we get older, wound healing slows right down.
Interesting.
And another reason why we see, as we have all seen people as they get older, they have skin tears much more easily than we do when we are younger. That has to do with the change in the body collagen.
Ah, growing old is fun. Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Linda's in Troy. Linda, go ahead.
We have all seen.
Oh, hey, Linda, can you turn your radio down? Could you turn your radio down, buddy?
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. I never ask people in advance. I'm a fool. If you call in, try to turn your radio down. Linda just did it, and now it's good to go for Linda. Go ahead.
Yes. Oh, great. Thank you. Yeah, I was just curious, doctor, do you have any experience with hyperbaric oxygen working to heal scar tissue, internal scar tissue, in particular radiation enteritis?
We do. No, I'm sorry, Linda, please go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, I did hyperbaric treatments for a couple of months. Oh, yeah, maybe 8 years ago. And I just wondered, oh, maybe I should try it again. You know, I had to stop prematurely because I was very sick. And I had to treat the symptoms before I could treat the cause. So
We treat a lot of radiation soft tissue injury. So if you think of radiation soft tissue injury, you think of conditions where you have a wound and a radiated field, which is not healing. And we found that hyperbaric oxygen therapy is incredibly effective for that. For men, people have received radiation therapy for prostate cancer and have developed irritation of the bladder, and they have bleeding with urination. They tend to benefit enormously from hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And we've even treated people with chronic nerve dysfunction due to radiation tissue injury, although those are a little bit more difficult to quantify the improvement. And we've treated people with radiation proctitis with hyperbaric oxygen therapy. People seem to respond quite well with
radiation. I mean, I didn't really notice any when I was doing it. I didn't really notice any. I have scar tissue from, I had the radiation in 2003, and I really had no problems for the first, maybe 10 years. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, everything is cooked. My body is cooked, And I lost a kidney. I mean, can that kind of, from the scar tissue blocking the blood,
Yeah.
So, but do you think after all that time it could
we've seen
have
it.
An influence?
20 years is a bit longer than I've seen personally, but certainly we treat people who had their radiation in 2010, 2015. So we do see improvement in patients with remote histories of radiation exposure.
All right, Linda, thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. Now, again, I don't know anything about this stuff, but hyperbaric, you're going into a chamber and you are in there for X number of hours or minutes or whatever. The bladder's inside. It's inside your body. How is hyperbaric pressure going to, theoretically, your body is pressurized inside as it is, right? How is that going to help?
So, again, the goal is to really get oxygen into the bloodstream in much higher levels than we could possibly obtain either living out in the environment or breathing oxygen through a mask. And the best way to do that, as I said, is to provide 100% oxygen under pressure. And the benefit appears to be the blood getting the oxygen.
Amazing.
Through the standard, you inhale the oxygen, it gets transmitted to the blood. But the gas differential, the partial pressure of the gas, the oxygen in the lungs, is what drives into the bloodstream, and then the blood takes it to the tissues.
This is amazing. So when I pictured it, I pictured just surface wounds being affected by this. But apparently not.
That's exactly right. Yes, we can treat with hyperbaric oxygen therapy. The whole body goes acrylic chamber. And if there is a wound anywhere in the body or even within the body, we have the opportunity to treat it.
Let's go back to our phone lines. We'll go to Serena in Massachusetts. Serena, you're up.
Hi. A few years ago, I helped someone with a chainsaw wound. It took months and something wouldn't heal, and the doctor finally prescribed medicinal honey. And that took care of it in a couple days. So I was wondering, what is it? Why did it come on the scene so late? Like, is there a time to use it and a time not to use it?
So that's a great question, Serena. Thanks for calling in. We use a fair amount of medicinal honey. The honey is a great controller of the bacteria at the wound. Plus, it also helps keep the wound from getting too moist. So I talk about a moist healing environment, but there's also the possibility of wounds which are too moist. And the honey does a fabulous job of controlling the excess moisture in the wound bed.
Interesting.
And it's actually, honey's been used as a wound treatment for millennia. And we now have products we can apply which actually leverage the medicinal aspects of honey along with modern technology to make it even more effective.
So medicinal honey is just honey?
Well, yes, that's correct. It's just honey, but it's usually in a delivery system of some kind.
So, all right. Let's go back to our phone lines here in the waning 4 or 5 minutes with Dr. Michael Ormont, Wound Care and Hyperbaric Medicine Today. Let's go to Tivoli. Ken, you're on.
Hi, can you hear?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. So hyperbaric oxygen originally started as a treatment for the bends for divers, and it's gradually expanded to other uses. I know the focus of the call is on wounds, but can you address some of the other things that it treats?
Yes, absolutely. So there are 17 specific indications for hyperbaric oxygen therapy. As you mentioned, at the wound care centers, we tend to treat wounds, radiation tissue injury, but there are plenty of hospitals which treat acute carbon monoxide poisoning with hyperbaric oxygen therapy. There are situations in which people who have lost their hearing get benefit from hyperbaric oxygen therapy. It's an acute process. It has to be treatments have to start almost immediately, but it's called acute sensorineural hearing loss. And some people benefit from hyperbaric oxygen therapy for that. There's a certain condition called retinal artery occlusion where people have lost some of their vision. And again, in the acute setting, the treatments have to start rapidly, but some people regain their vision from treatment with hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
In the short term or forever? I mean, will the cure hold?
Most people get long-lasting benefit. It may not be permanent, but the hearing loss tends to respond well, and people retain their hearing.
Ken, you want to follow up very quickly?
Neurological issues, Parkinson's, and things like that.
Well, that's constantly a subject of research. Up until this point, we haven't really been able to come to a definitive demonstration of improvement in neurologic conditions with treatment with hyperbaric oxygen therapy. We're always hopeful, but as yet, there aren't any. That isn't one of the indications for treatment.
Ken, thanks a lot for the call. Now to Nick in Albany. Nick.
Hi. In passing, I've heard of things about possible developments in the realm of breathable liquids, especially those impregnated with oxygen, as well as the use of delivery of various pharmaceuticals and stuff through implantable hydrogels. Could you perhaps talk about that and if they have a future in conjunction with hyperbaric medicine, in hyperbaric medicine or in wound treatment in general?
Well, when we think about injectable hydrogels, we do use a fair amount of hydrogels in wound care. They're used as a delivery system for other medications, and we apply them directly to the wound surface. In terms of injecting them into other areas of the body, we haven't seen that develop yet in the wound care realm, but it's certainly possible. As far as hyperbaric oxygen therapy, I don't see that coming online anytime soon. But, hey, you never know. Research continues.
Nick, thanks a lot. Very quickly, and we only have about 30 seconds. Mary in Hopewell Junction. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Mary. I am a registered nurse in the hospice home care setting. And I wondered if you had any information on an oxygen delivery system for wounds called Oxygenie.
Okay,
my patients has used it, but not in the hospice setting, and it's not something I was familiar with at all.
About 30 seconds here, Doc.
So thanks for the call and the question, Mary. Yes, so there are topical oxygen delivery systems available, and some of them are effective. We don't have them available in the wound care center, but some people who are homebound benefit from that type of treatment.
All right, Mary, thanks a lot for the call. All right. You have 15 seconds. What did I not ask you that you really wanted to tell everyone?
I think generally, if you have a wound which you don't think is healing, it never hurts to contact your primary care practitioner and see if you'd benefit from wound care management. A lot of primary care doctors are very facile at wound care, but if they have any questions or concerns, they can always reach out to us and we'll answer anything that crops up.
You know, why did you make this jump 5 years ago? What drew you to it?
Well, it seemed like a natural progression from general surgery, and we needed a wound care doc at the hospital where I was, so I was the guy.
I guess I probably should have asked you that first. But anyway, Dr. Michael Ormond of New Vance Health, thanks for being here, man.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Support comes from DePaul Housing Management, managing communities for seniors throughout the Capital District. On-site staff at campus-like settings, DePaulHousing.com for information and photos. Once again, thanks to Dr. Michael Ormond of New Vance Health, or most people just say New Vance Health, for being here. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Thanks to Bob Rathbun, who's back in the saddle and screening the calls. Good job, buddy. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, it's Blades with Rich Guthrie and Julie Hart. We'll see you tomorrow at 2:00.